Lord, we praise you. Thank you for this rich time. Thank you for all the young people. Let everyone use his talent and let no one bury it, hide it. Thank you, you make us one. Praise the Lord for this rich time. We will stay here in chapter 13 of Acts on the moving on of the Spirit. And when we had read this verse this morning, I thought, well, the most impressive thing is the verse 2, right? It's the peak, right? Why? It's the Lord who speaks. It's the Spirit doing something. And I find this so good. In the conference, the Acts should be called the move of the Spirit, of the glory of God with the apostles. Because the apostles are used very much, but the focus is on the moving of the Spirit. It is not possible without man, but if God doesn't do it, it's waste nothing. I think it's so good. We do have this focus, this emphasis these days. We see what the Lord is doing. The glory in Acts is really God, Lord, not the man. It is not about seeing Paul and Barnabas. No, it is seeing, oh wow, the Spirit. It's so good, right? And if we consider our history of Christians during that 2,000 years, it's always the same mistake happening. Men of God who are so useful to the Lord, but finally in the end, other men lift them up. Some do not want it, the other generation still does it. And even allow others to lift them up. We saw that in the generation before us. But it's so good that we can learn from it and see it is about the Lord. That we all are one. Not just in a person. But it's so beautiful to see when we are here together, 280 talents. It's much more than one having five. It is much more. And it's so good to learn from this word of Acts. How does the Spirit want to move? And in verse 2, I like it how it starts. They're brothers together in oneness, and what do? They minister to the Lord and they fast. When they ministered to the Lord, what does it mean? To minister to the Lord. Why does it not say just when they prayed? Well, this is meant, but as it came out during the conference already, God in the Old Testament wants all his people to minister him. But since they rebelled, Moses had to say, who is for the Lord comes to me? And the Levites came. And they didn't look to the families and the friends. For the ministry's sake, I have to cut off this relationship, this bondage. We can learn from the Levites. They first of all serve the Lord, minister the Lord. So only the Levites were allowed to serve the Lord. Then we heard there was a time everybody wanted to run away. Only the sons of Zadok remained. So there was another limitation. Only the sons of Zadok were allowed to minister in the holy place. And only the high priest was allowed to enter into the veil, into the holy of holies, one time a year. And stand before God in front of the incense altar, the presence of God. So we have to appreciate through the work of the Lord Jesus. He has rent the veil, and the way is free, is cleared to the Holy of Holies. What the high priest was allowed to do once only a year, we can do all the time. That's the ministry for the Lord, not outside, among men, among the Levites. The ministry of the saints in the house is also good, but it's also important and good to come before the Lord in the holy place. It is to be in the presence of the Lord, of God. That is so sweet, right? If we come before the Lord, as we heard in a conference before, we can take Him as our abode, as our fortress, enter into Him. We have to learn of the snail and always having her house with her. So creep into that. The enemy cannot take hold of us because we disappear from him, and we can pour out our hearts for the Lord, for his purpose. And I realize that's so important to hear the voice of the Lord. It is so good to minister to the Lord, to stand in prayer before him. Is really something so precious. Certain things you can't explain or tell to the people, but you can tell all the things to the Lord. And then the Spirit speaks. That's so good, right? Many times it's easier to ask people. So everybody asks other people. So if someone is a Christian, they go to someone having more experience and ask. That's my experience also. A man is answering quicker, right? It's easier, right? That God answers is not as easy as with men. But that's really about learning it. Throughout the brothers always taught me, they always said, go before the Lord before you ask anybody else. It is more difficult, but it's more precious. Hear the voice of the Lord. And the Lord could speak to us. I was in Sweden preaching the gospel, and a young brother was speaking to two other people. One of them was a Jew, and we discussed a little bit. But that Jewish person was very religious, and I asked him, have you ever read in the scriptures? And he had all the books in his bookshelf, a whole bookshelf full of books. Do you read it? Do you think God is able to speak to you? He said, should I be honest? I should say no. Why should God speak? I said, why did God speak to Moses from face to face? Why did God speak to David, was a friend of Abraham? If God, it does not work today anymore, that God speaks to you, then throw away all your books. It's not use anything. And then, it's so good to see our God is a living God. If he doesn't speak to us, then what is all about? It's worth and use nothing. We really want to hear the voice of the Lord, even if it's not that simple, always. But what came also out in the fellowship, first of all, take heed of your conscience. The Lord is in your spirit, and he moves in your spirit. And if I don't heed of my conscience, if he says stop, don't go there, or don't look at that, but I still continue, how do I want to hear the voice of the Lord? So we heard, there's a package of three items. Many times we have a problem with our heart. So in the letter of John, it says, epistle of John, it says, oh, if our heart condemns us, God is greater. Our heart shouldn't block us not to hear the voice of the Lord. We can know God is still greater. He took all away our sins. We can confess and we can hear him afresh. That's our desire. We want to hear the Lord. What does the Lord speak? The Holy Spirit spoke. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Praise the Lord. It's this movement. The Lord wants to move. And for this move, it needs coordination. We also need today a point of coordination. That is the throne, arranging everything. It's so good to see the Lord arranges everything. We heard it a lot, but we have to really take it in. I will just simply say it again, like that. It is not the apostles in Jerusalem that say, hey, give him a phone call, we need now preaching the gospel, go out, this is that place. That is not a man planning it. That is really the crucial point. It's the speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit wants to move and He coordinates. We not only need the throne in heaven, but also on earth to coordinate. Where is the coordination on the earth? In our spirit. We have a center in our spirit. The throne is there, the Lord is there. The coordination comes out from our spirit. The Lord wants to move. And we have to have the speaking in the spirit. And this prayer touched me. Lord, I do want to know my spirit more. I do want to be a son of God, being led by the Spirit. Amen. Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. That is also a wonderful point to which I have called them. God has called us. God has predestined us. Maybe you could read this verse in Ephesians 2 verse 10. That we could see. It is about not we should think of something, but God ordained already. Prepare beforehand, it said. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. It's so good. He prepared beforehand works in which we should walk. In Philippians 3, Paul says, I haven't fully apprehended yet, but I want to apprehend, to lay hold of, to what also I have been laid hold of. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord had chosen us, and He lays hold of us today. For what? For what purpose? And we want to lay hold of what He has laid hold of us. And we have to ask the Lord, Lord, we want to receive this update. We want to know what You have laid us hold of for. Lord has prepared something for us. And He says in John 15, not you have chosen me, but I have chosen you. That you would go and bear much fruit. And right the verse before that, He says, I don't call you slaves anymore. I call you friends. Why? Because I have let you know everything. We have to say this to the Lord. You've called us friends because You want us to know everything. You've chosen us. That why we also want to know today what You have prepared. We want to walk in these works the Lord has prepared. That is so good to hear to the Spirit. I will take this from the conference room. The Spirit is so quick, so swift, much swifter than we. It is good to walk with Him in this speed. The Lord sends out sometimes and says, separate unto me these two.
That they
would go and have a book table or distribute tracts at university, at the campus. And the Spirit speaks and says, now give this friend a phone call and share a verse with him. Right? It's so good to heed the Spirit and be quick, be swift. I recently distributed something at the campus, and I met someone of my colleagues. I said hi, hello to him, and he just passed by. And I knew I should have given him something. I thought, okay, pass by. But the word of a brother came to me back. The Spirit speaks then. You should do. And then I ran after him. Because I was sad not having given it to him. I said, hey, God, stop, friend. I still want to give this to you. And he, what? Oh, thank you, God. Thanks so much. And he took it. And I realized the situation passed by so quickly, and I'm too slow. And I have to run after it. But it's good to be swift. As the Spirit. And the Spirit says, do it. And then don't think a lot about it, but right away, do it. Another point I find is beautiful. The Lord sends them by two. Many times it's like the Lord sends out two by two. His disciples, and whenever we go somewhere, it's good not to go by yourself. Got to go alone. It's always should be after the Spirit. Okay, if it's Philip, he says, go to the street in the desert. He says, I'm just myself. Well, there was a eunuch, and I don't go myself alone. It's not the principle. But then, well, the Spirit, of course, is the first speaking. And if the Lord speaks, and we just follow our principles, okay, that's not good. We have to be focused on hearing the Lord when He speaks, and swiftly follow. And directly follow. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it's so nice to see how these brothers are one. It's five brothers chosen here, and it's a big church. A chapter before, you will see a lot of people became Christians, but here the brothers take time to pray in oneness. And this point, I still wanted to add to the point of the prayer. It is so good if we take the time to pray. And today, in this age, it's mostly about taking time. We all know there is always no time. We are too busy. Even the pupils, the high school students, there is a gymnasium shorter, after school, so much to do. But it's so good to redeem your time. And I realize sometimes when I pray by myself, it is not so strong. But if I take the time to pray together with the brothers, that's such a blessing. So in the places we are, we should really reserve time for the Lord. The brothers here even neglect their meals. They fast and pray. We should not only from our natural things. Of course, it's good to eat and we all want to be healthy. But sometimes for prayer's sake, for the fellowship's sake, because I want to meet the brothers, I neglect. I leave aside this one meal to promote the purpose of the Lord. Then you will see how the Lord starts to speak so clearly, so direct. As an example, we had been at the university and had fellowship, and there was no new one among us, and we thought, should we go out? But we just stayed together and prayed together. And the brother said, we have to reach a new one somehow. After praying, we should reach new ones. Let's make lessons, lectures. We prayed another group of 10 brothers together. And we said, okay, right, that's a good idea. Let's make these preaching lectures. Maybe a small work, but it was so good to see how we prayed together. The idea came up. And within me, there was an amen right away. Everybody was one. So everybody said, it's good, we're one. It's now time to do it. That was really the moving of the Spirit. And the church was also one for it. It's an example. If the brothers are one, the older brothers in the family, they are an example, they're one. So all can be one. And then they go for the purpose of the Lord. They go one. And the older brothers don't say, oh, Paul, wait, you have to stay here. You have to preach here. No, they say they're one. They're really one. They lay their hands on them. You're going, our going. Your speaking is our speaking. We are one with you. And Barnabas and Paul didn't say, oh, you all have to go. So if we do it, we all do it together. We are one heart. You actually should all go with us. No, that's also not the work of the Spirit. The Spirit says, these two, separate and let them go. And everybody's happy, everybody's one. We should really learn that. That we move along with the Spirit. We are here, we are one. But we are from all of Europe, from all even remoter than that, and we go back to our places. And the Lord will move on from that on. And I'm really interested in what the Lord is doing, what the Lord will do. If the Lord speaks such a word, giving us a burden for this conference in Acts, the story of Acts, it will be wonderful to see what the Lord will do for each single one of us. If everyone has such a sensation to listen to the Spirit, amen. Praise the Lord.